Back in early 2000, I started going to the gym. I've already told you about the process, so I won't go through that, but I had to choose a gym. And there were really two gyms in our city of Coburg that I could choose from. There was either the one at the mall where you would work out on the cardiovascular machines in front of the entranceway to the mall so that people could see you, or the YMCA. Now, friends, it was a no-brainer for me to have the option of going to a mall in trying to lose weight, being in a pair of shorts, sweating profusely on machines as people are walking by with their pretzel from the food market. I just knew that wasn't an option. I just knew that wasn't good for me, for my self-esteem, because I didn't want people mocking me, and I knew it wasn't good for them to see me sweating like that. So I went to the YMCA, piece of cake. YMCA for years. Ainsley and I both went to the YMCA. And then we moved to Orleans. And we didn't even think about it. We just transferred our membership over to the YMCA by Place d'Orleans. We had been going for quite a few years. And then, because of some various factors, I start to think about maybe I should change to something closer to the church, rather than taking 10 minutes to get across town to Place with traffic and construction, since St. Joseph is always under construction. I should probably get something a little bit closer. And so I went to Bob McQuarrie just a couple years ago during the summer, and last summer I decided that I was going to stay at Bob McQuarrie. It was cheaper, it gave me everything I needed, and I could walk there even in the bad winter days. I made the change, and now Ainsley had to think about where she was going to go, and so she started to reflect a little bit more on some of the other elements, not just geography. She started to think about, you know, the cost, you know, whether or not it was packed at certain the times that she wanted to go, what machines they had, what weights they had, and so she signed up to, I just don't even know what it is, Fit for Less. And what's incredible is that when she went to sign up, they didn't just offer her a great price. They said, if you're going to be a member, we're going to give you these great machines. We're going to give you this great introductory offer. We're going to give you this great fee. And we're going to give you your own gym bag. This incentive to be a member of Fit for Life. I don't know what club you belong to, but there are all kinds of clubs that are trying to vie for your membership. And they are asking, what can we do to get you to join our club? What can we do? What can we give you? Do you want a gym bag? Do you want lesser fees? Yes, I do. Do you want a t-shirt? Do you want a water bottle? And they keep asking the question about what they can offer to get your membership. You know, the truth is that as a leader of a church in North America, I wrestle with that question for getting people to church, just like every other pastor that I know. This idea of what can I give people? What can I do for people? What will it take to get you to become a member of our church? Can I offer you a shorter message, a longer message, a funnier message? Who said amen to the shorter one? Can we offer you this song? Can we offer you this program? And we try to offer all these things. And what's happened in North America is we've come up with consumer church. Consumer church where to be a member of a church is dependent upon what the church is going to offer you. And we get into the church that we like. We like the products it's given to us. But somewhere along the lines, the products don't seem to serve us. So something happens, the preacher preaches a message that's too long, or he does a series on finances, or the program changes, or something happens, they don't like that song. And you know what ends up happening when the product doesn't suit us anymore? One of two things. We either moan or we move. We moan or we move. People don't like the program. Oh, we don't like that program. Oh, we don't like that series. Oh, did you hear how long the pastor's message was today? That song, I don't like that song. They moan. Or eventually people will just move. I don't like the product of that church anymore. And so I'm just going to move on. I'm just going to move on. Friends, I want to tell you, that was never the intention of Jesus Christ. This consumer mentality when it comes to membership in his church was never what Jesus intended the church to be. He didn't expect people to go around shopping for church. There was something greater that he desired. And so today I want to talk to you about this idea of rethinking membership. Because I believe that if we can rethink what it means to be a member in the body of Christ, the big body, the universal church of Jesus Christ, then we can get a snapshot on what it means to truly be a member of a local church. The first thing I think that we need to rethink is this, is that being a member of a church is immersion over affiliation. Immersion over affiliation. You see, there are so many people who say, oh, I'm affiliated with that church. What church do you go to? Yeah, I go to this church. I go to CPC. There have been people that I've met, and they've told me that they go to our church. I haven't seen them for months and months and months, but they go to our church. They are affiliated. I'm not trying to mock, but they're affiliated. There is a connection. This is maybe where their heart is. They like this place. They are connected to this church. There's no deep connection. There's just this affiliation. You see, when it comes to our approach to church, there's two extremes. Some people will be the legal member. They've signed the document, gone through Gordon Wood's membership classes. They are active in the church. They're contributing. They are fully in. And then there are people who are just affiliate. They just attend from time to time. But both people would say that they're members of the church. But there's this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. The body being the body of Christ, the church. Now, friends, this is not a passage about baptism in water. This is not a passage about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is, Paul is writing the Corinthian church, and he is saying that the Spirit of God brought about your salvation, and he immersed you into his church. He immersed you. He baptized you. You understand the picture. He baptized you into his church. Because you are saved, he put you under his church. A number of years ago, my dad and my sister and I were camping in Bancroft. And we got into a canoe and we're just going across the lake. And my sister kept joking around about how we should tip the boat. And she was doing a little bit of rocking and joking. And yet, as she would rock, she'd get nervous and panic. And we kept on canoeing and kept on canoeing and we kept on joking about it. We were coming towards the end of our trip and we were coming into shore. And you know how the water can sometimes make the ground, the bottom of the lake seem closer than it actually is? I thought, I'm going to try to push off with my paddle, push off the ground to push us into shore. And so I leaned out and I pushed my paddle into the ground. And what I realized is that the water had been creating an illusion that the lake surface was closer than it actually was. And so I couldn't reach it. I kept leaning, kept leaning, kept leaning. And the next thing you know, the entire canoe tips right over. I made an imbalanced moment, and the canoe tips over. My dad goes in. My sister goes in. I go in. And my sister starts screaming, I'm drowning. I'm drowning. I'm drowning. I looked at my sister. I said, stand up. The water was about up to here. All she had to do was get up. I remember it was so funny because she's panicking, thinking she's drowning. But we were completely soaked. But my dad, it was so funny because my dad had his wallet and his keys and everything. And so he's fishing them out. And he's pulling his wallet out and bills are just completely soaked. I mean, just everything. His watch, his clothes, everything. Friends, he was baptized. Completely dripping with that lake. Now, why do I tell you that story? On the canoe, in the canoe, we were affiliated with the lake. There was an association. We were connected by the boat, but we weren't dripping with it. The moment came where we tipped over and we got right into it so that every part of our body, our clothes, everything we had was completely soaked by the water. We were baptized into that lake. And Paul's using that language. He says that when you became a Christian, you didn't just get affiliated. You just didn't canoe your way to a church. He says you got immersed. you got put under so that every part of the church should be dripping off your life. Friends, I want you to know that the vision of the church should be dripping off your life. The values of the church should be dripping off your life. The relationships in here should be dripping off your life. I mean, what we're about for Jesus Christ should be dripping off your life. People shouldn't just ask you what church you go to. They should know because there's something dripping off you because you are not just associated, you're not just affiliated with a church, you are completely immersed in this body, dripping. I want it so bad to bring up Pastor Nick to illustrate this message. I was gonna soak him so that he was dripping, but I'm not going to do that. Not till you get back. Just joking. But can you just imagine dripping the body of Christ? Dripping. That in your conversations, you're talking about our vision. In your conversations, you're talking about the values. In your conversations, you're talking about relationships. There is something of you that's not just going to church and leaving the canoe ride, that you are completely immersed in who this body is. Friends, let me tell you something. Jesus' intention for your life wasn't so that you would just show up to the building. He did not create canoe Christianity. He wants you to be immersed into his body. And some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, you're taking this out of context. It simply means that you are all in. But the passage is found in relationship to our interactions with the body of Christ. That's what the context of this passage is. Using the giftings in our life, there should be something from each of us that says, I'm not just attending this place. I'm completely immersed in it. I understand the vision. I understand the values. I am connected relationally. I'm not just a passing attender, not affiliation, but immersion. Number two, not only is it immersion over affiliation, but it's expectation over experience. I love this passage in John chapter 6. Let's look at this just for a moment. It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. Therefore, they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent. Whom he has sent. So they said to him, What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. And the last part is this. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life for the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. John 6, 25 to 35. The story is Jesus has just fed the 5,000. We know the story. Takes a little boy's lunch. Does the miraculous. Breaks bread, breaks some fish, splits it up. They come back with 12 baskets full. They're so amazed. That the Bible tells us that this group of people, I mean, there's 5,000 men. There's probably 15,000 people if you count all the ladies and all the children. 15,000 people. Even if there's just a portion, there are thousands who have followed Jesus to the other side of the lake. It seems like they're the committed ones, right? And Jesus then confronts them and says, hey, you're not following me. You're not following me because you're fully committed. You're following me because you have eaten the bread and had your fill. You had an experience. You had an experience with me that satisfied you. I love shawarma. I don't know how many other people do. My favorite shawarma place is Lebanon Palace on St. Laurent and Industrial Road. A week ago Friday, Ainsley and I and Briar went to Lebanon Palace for shawarma. We each had a small chicken sandwich. Ainsley had chicken bowl, or had a beef bowl, a beef sandwich. Anyways, we all had our meal, and we had some potatoes that we shared. And we sat there, and we were, like, enjoying it. It was an experience. We kept saying how good the food was, how much we love Lebanon Palace. I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but after you eat these garlic potatoes, you are burping garlic for quite some time, and it's just as enjoyable the second time. I mean, the garlic is so good. It's so good. It was a great experience. And so last Sunday, we went back because it was so good, and we did it again. And this time, we ordered a large plate of potatoes with garlic, and same thing. It was so good. Because we had our taste and our fill, and we experienced something that brought satisfaction to us. And Jesus is saying to the people, that's what you're doing. You've had your taste of the food. You had an experience that brought satisfaction to you, and it was so enjoyable that you're coming back for another experience. And there are people in the church who come to church simply for the experience. They just want to have their fill. Pastor, give me a message that I can enjoy. Give me a song that I like to hear. Give me an experience that will bring satisfaction to my soul. And if I keep having good experiences, and if there's a great atmosphere, and if I can just keep experiencing something that will bring satisfaction to me, then I will keep coming back. But if there's not that kind of experience, then I'm probably going to find some other place. The problem is that we come for experience, but we rarely think about our expectation. You see, my guess is that you're probably like my family, that there are times where you talk about the experience when you leave church. That was a great worship time. By the way, Pastor Steve, I enjoyed worship so thoroughly this morning. Great, great worship time. That was a great message. That was a great testimony. That was a great this. And we talk about the experience. But how often do we leave church and talk about God's expectation on our lives? You know, when I left church this morning, I feel like God wants me to really contribute a little bit more to the church with my time. You know, when I came to the church, I saw a lot of hurting people, and I feel like God is expecting me to pray more before I come to church so that I could bring them a word of encouragement. You know, Ainsley, I left church this morning, and I felt the Spirit placing this expectation on my heart that I need to get into His Word more and grow. We talk about the experience, but how often do we talk about what the Spirit is expecting of us? Because, friends, you're not here to have a good experience. You're here to hear from the Holy Spirit, His expectation on your life, so that you can grow and do His things. It's not just experience, it's expectation. Jesus says, you just come to eat. You just came to eat some more. You want another experience. And they said, then what do you want from us? What do you expect from us? And that's the question. What do you expect from us? You see, when we go after experience, it's about what we want. But when we go after expectation, it's about what He wants. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. So the context of the five verses from verse 1 to verse 5 is about the last days, about sin creeping into the church. It's not just in the world, but it creeping into the church. The Bible says that in the last days that people will become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will be looking for the experience. They will be looking for that which tickles their ears. They will be looking for that which brings them comfort. They will be looking for that which satisfies them. They will be looking for that which delights them instead of being lovers of God. And lovers of God are people who say just what this group of people said, what do you expect from us? God, what do you expect from us? You see, being a member of this church is not just having a good experience. And friends, I'm not saying that we're going to try to create bad experiences. We are going to try to create as many good experiences as possible. And some of you need those moments. But our expectation, the Spirit's expectation on our lives, must be the priority and experience the secondary thing. Every time we walk into this place, we must be asking ourselves, what is it the Spirit of God wants from us? And every time we leave this place, it's not about what you experience. It's what did the Spirit speak to you about? What did the Spirit say to you? Are you the same you were last year, or can you identify the growth elements that have taken place in your life because you've listened to the expectations of the Spirit of God? Grow, grow, grow. I love some of our seniors in here. I love all our seniors in here, but there are sometimes seniors in here will come to me and they'll talk about how they're still hungry to grow closer to God, how they still want to learn more. They're still listening to the expectation of the Spirit for their lives. Every one of us needs to walk in this place. To be part of this body is not just to come in for an experience. It's to come in to let the Spirit tell us His expectations on our lives. That's what it means to be part of a church. And so expectation is over experience. Lastly, contribution over consumption. Contribution over consumption. So when I was a kid, we used to have these things called potluck. Incidentally, I'll just give you a leak. We're on our membership, on our annual business meeting Sunday, we will have a potluck blessing. And for those of you who don't like the word luck, it will be a pot blessing Sunday. We'll have that. So we're going to talk about the details in the future. But we used to have these potluck dinners like once a month at my church. And I love them because we didn't have a lot of food in my house. I love those nights because I would come on a Sunday night and I couldn't even hear what the pastor was saying. I just couldn't wait till the potluck moment. And I'd come to the table, and I would see food that I had never tasted before, food we couldn't afford, desserts bountiful, and I would fill up. I'd fill up my plate till it was overflowing, and I would enjoy and enjoy. And I love potlucks. Now I'm an adult. I have a new perspective on potlucks. I start to notice when I was a little bit older and in my late teens and as I entered adulthood that as I went to potlucks, I noticed something very unique, that there were professional potluckers. Let me describe to you a professional potlucker. They arrive in line well in advance of everybody else. They are standing there as if they've got the VIP ticket. They avoid the service. They just get down there. And if they happen to be in the service, they dismiss themselves like hours before they should. And they get down there and they wait at the front of the line and they will take their plate and they will go and they will take the best of everything there and fill their plates to capacity. And they will quickly eat that food and they will come back for more. I don't know if you've seen these people, professional potluckers. But they will take the best and they will take the most of the best. And then after they've had their plates, they will start to complain about what has just been given to them. The chicken was too cold. There wasn't enough mashed potatoes. Why didn't somebody bring their favorite dessert? And they will complain about all kinds of things. And then you go and you talk to the professional potlucker and you say, well, what did you bring? And then you find out what it means to be a professional potlucker. A professional potlucker does not need to bring anything. They just need to consume the most and criticize the most. Isn't it interesting how that there are so many times when people who contribute the least have the most criticism about what's going on? It's quiet, eh? It's unbelievable how many times I'm told what we should do by people who just aren't involved. Pastor, if you did this, if you had this program, well, could you help us? Oh, no, I'm too busy. Consume but not contribute. Consume but not contribute. Friends, I want to tell you, Jesus never made you to be a consumer. He made you to be a contributor. If you're going to be part of this body, we want you to receive great things, but we don't want you to just do that. We're asking that you would contribute to the things that we have around here. There are so many needs. We need to do some things as a leadership team. I'm not pointing fingers. But there are so many needs around here. And I'll tell you, our staff will sit and go, how come nobody will volunteer for this? How come nobody will step up with this? We've posted about this. We've asked people personally. People keep saying they're busy, but we need people contributing to the work of God. Consumers or contributors. Look at this verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you, listen, let me just tell you the good news. Every single person in this place has a gift. You may not think you're gifted, but every person in this place has a gift. And God says the gift that's been placed in you needs to be used to contribute to everybody else in this place. To be part of this body and hold on to your gift and never share it is not what God designed for your life. Then we see in Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8, I don't know if I even have the verse up. Yeah, we do. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage. Some of you just need to encourage because that's your gifting. And then it says, if it's giving, then give generously. There are people in here, this excites me so much. There are people, you've been given the gift of generosity. So empty your bank account. No, I'm just joking. I'm not talking to the church, blessing other people. Blessing other people. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Talks both about just the practical things of encouragement, giving, all kinds of giftings. This is how we're made. Friends, we were designed to be contributors to the body. To be a member of this church is not just to consume, it's to contribute to this place. To find a place where you can use your giftings and see God bless others through you. A farmer came to a bank one day. He said to the banker, he said, look, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. I might as well tell you the bad news first. He said, I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage anymore. He said, and you know the $10,000 I owe for the crops that I borrowed? Won't be able to pay that either. And he said, you know the couple $100,000 that I owe for the tractor upgrades? Can't pay that either. You're going to have to take all my belongings and salvage what you can from it. The banker sat there with his mouth wide open, stunned. He barely was able to speak, and he says, okay, so what's the good news? And the farmer looked at him and said, well, the good news is that I'm not switching banks. You see, a bank isn't just to give. And a church isn't just to give. A church is to give and to receive, to give and to receive. We should come into this place and not just take from the table, but bring something for the body. In fact, friends, we're going to talk a little bit about this later on when we talk about no more solo Christians. But the truth is that each of us should be coming to church praying that God would use us to speak life into somebody else. We should come praying, not just for the service, but that we would have something to contribute to somebody else's life. We should, when we come to our ministries, we should be praying that God would use us to make the biggest impact as we contribute, because we are not just takers, we are givers. Contributors, not just consumers. Pastor Steve and Jess, would you come back? To be a member of a church means to be immersed, not just affiliated. It means to look for the Holy Spirit's expectations for our life, not just come for an experience. And it means to be a contributor, not just a consumer. We have Ainsley's brother has a son who is a phenomenal basketball player. I think he was 6'6" when he was like 13 years old. Is that about that? 6'6" when he's 13, right? I mean, he's going to be like 18 feet tall by the time he hits 18. I mean, he's massive. And I've seen some video clips on Facebook and that, and Evan is an outstanding basketball player. It's exciting when you have somebody who's playing in nationally for Canada, who's being scouted. And I said to Ainsley's brother a number of times, I said, hey, do you think he's going to make the NBA? Like, I'm excited to finally say I know somebody famous. I was like, do you think he'll make the NBA? And this is what Ewan says to me. He says, all his coaches say that his potential is through the roof. He just has to commit to that potential. He just has to commit to that potential. He just has to recognize the potential in his life and be willing to put a little bit of effort into it, to put more effort than he's doing right now, to put a greater effort, because he can reach his potential, but it requires commitment. And friends, the reason why I tell you that is that there is so much potential in this place. I mean, there is so much potential in this place. We just need commitment. And I'm not saying we don't have any commitment. I'm saying that the greater our commitment is to this membership, the greater the commitment that we are to this, the greater commitment we have to this body, the greater our potential is. We can do as a church the most extraordinary things for Jesus. The most extraordinary things for Jesus if we are all in, immersed, not just affiliated. Friends, if we come to hear from the Lord, not just for an experience, expectation over experience. And if we will take the gifts and everything that's in our lives and contribute to this place so that we can see the kingdom of God grow. But if it's just consuming, we won't have enough. We won't have enough. I'm so thankful for every person in this place. I really am. It's a great joy to pastor this church. I just want us to get to greater places in God. Greater places in God. God placed a dream in Rick Lekwe's heart about 5 weeks ago. I'm going to ask him just to share the dream very quickly so that tie into this message.
So about 5 weeks ago I had this dream and I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with it, except I knew I was supposed to share it with the church. And I wasn't sure about the timing, but as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit said, okay, now is the time. This dream has to do with a scripture. It's Revelation 6 and 4, where the throne is there, and there's this calm water before the throne. Jesus is on the throne. There's all kinds of things going on. But the dream was this. We were here, all of us, we were here in the church, and adults, young, old, our kids, everybody was here. And we were all moving towards the throne, and we had our arms all linked together, and we were all coming forward, and we were all worshiping. And Steve was up there, and we were worshiping and so on. And there was a whole bunch of words all above us. There was this word unforgiveness. There was complacency. There was actually hate. There was sickness. There was all these words, and they were things that are not found in heaven. And as we came together and as we linked arms and as we were coming closer to the throne, this calm place before the throne, this calm water before the throne, all these words just started to sort of, I don't know what you call it, but they just started to disappear, you know, they started to sort of go away. And as we all came together, we were here and worshiping together, this cloud came over the top of us, and I realized that was the Holy Spirit. And I saw things like forgiveness and joy and peace and unity and accord and all of these things as the Holy Spirit settled on everyone and as we all began to pray together. And I think it, with the Holy Spirit telling me today, I get what he's saying now about us all being together and contributing as a body in one accord for the glory of God. And that's what that dream was about.
It's good. Thank you, Rick. It's good. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you just to reflect on what your role as a member of this church is like right now. And as you're doing that, I'm going to invite our prayer team to make your way to the front. If you could quickly do that. In a moment, as we conclude this service, you'll have the opportunity to come to the front if you need prayer for anything. Our prayer team will be here, willing to pray for you. Sickness, financial, marriage, work, whatever it is. They'll pray for you. But I want to ask this question. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're in this place and you don't know what it means to be part of the body of Christ. You don't know what it's like to be part of a spiritual family because you don't know what it's like to be in relationship with God. And friend, I want to tell you that every person in this place has experienced that at some point. And the majority of people in this room at some point heard someone tell them about this incredible gift that Jesus gave, called the cross, how he died in our place for our sins. It was the only way we could ever make it into relationship with God. And you're here today saying, how do I get to God? You just need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. You're here today and say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. Never done this before, but I want to give Jesus my life completely. Would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody in this place? Just wave at me really quickly. We don't want this to be long. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you really want to follow through with that idea of giving your life to Jesus. I'd encourage you to come to the front when I finish praying. Church, as we leave this place, let us not be consumer Christians, but let us be people who are truly part of God's body. Let us consider how we can up our game, up our potential by our commitment to this body for Jesus. And so, Jesus, as we conclude this service, I pray that we would be fully immersed in values and the vision of this place and the relationships and all that you want to do. Let's drip your body. I pray, God, I pray that we would go into service each week looking for your expectations, asking the Spirit what he wants to do in our lives, not just coming for experiences. And I pray that we would contribute, not just consume. God, would you bring to life gifts that have sat dormant? Would you bring to life everything that's in us? Let us see ourselves as contributors, not just takers. And I pray that as we live like this, that we would become the church that you desire. That God, we would live out to our full potential as our commitment continues to increase. God, would you be with this church this week as they go about doing your mission, doing your work? Would you protect them? Would you bless them? Would you walk every step of the way with them? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.